If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So here we go then, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the flagship Kings of Anglia podcast. It's just me and Stuart Watson once again, just the two of us, on fresh off a trip from Naples. And Stuart Watson's been preparing pre-season. The fixtures are out, Stu. How's things? We've got a lot to cover. Heathie will be back next week, I assume. But just you and me once again, my friend.
Yeah, just the two of us, mate. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed your trip. How was it?
It was bellissimo, as the Italians say. It was fantastic. You know, saw a lot of family, ate a lot of food, a lot of pasta, a lot of mozzarella cheese, a lot of ice cream. I had ice cream for breakfast 2 days in a row. We woke up and we just went, should we just go for ice cream? It was hot. And I thought, why not? So that was my life for a few days. But yeah, it was a well-earned break. And I'm ready now for pre-season, my friend. How's things with you?
Well earned, if you do say so yourself. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope Mark's enjoying his remote stay on some Scottish island. I'm holding it all together for us at the moment. Andy's left us. I'm ploughing a lone furrow, but at least things are starting to happening in the world of Ipswich Town now, which makes things a little easier.
It does indeed, my friend. There's a lot of news. When I was away, we signed a player. The fixtures got dropped. We're going to cover all that in this podcast. And of course, the podcast is proudly sponsored by Manscaped and Ginger Pickle. Shout out to Tony Southgate and the team there for all your marketing needs and below-the-waist grooming for Manscaped. But Stu, shall we talk about the sexy stuff then? That dropped on Monday. Jack Taylor has signed for Town from Peterborough United. A player McKenna likes. Bids rejected 3 times in January. But now he's an Ipswich Town player. Your thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, quite often you see in a set of quotes when a player signs that he's a player we've tracked for a long time, long-term interest. You wonder sometimes how genuine that is. But in this case, it very much is. I think Andy first reported on interest in Jack Taylor in the very early stages of last summer. Didn't come to anything then. Ipswich obviously signed people like Dominic Ball, eventually Panucci Kamara in that window. Then they went back very seriously in January for him. Barry Fry fairly recently has gone public in the fact that there were 3 bids rejected. I understand that is correct. Darren McAntony has said that Taylor actually had a tour around Ipswich and Portman Road back in January. So that's how close that got. But the clubs couldn't agree a deal. And finally, Ipswich have got their man. I think the bidding in January, from what I gather, got up close to about £1 million. Peterborough at that stage were holding out for as much as 3.5. So they were too far apart on fees. I think Peterborough were obviously thinking, let's see if we can get up as well, keep our best players. They told Jack that, look, stay with us for 6 months, see if we can get up and we won't stand in your way come the summer. And of course, that's what's happened. In the end, the fee for a player who was going into the final year of his contract is pretty much on the nose, £1.5 million, which I think is a pretty good bit of business.
Yeah, very good bit of business for a player who's been one of the best League One players, hasn't he, Stu? You know, 25 years of age, box-to-box midfielder. Joined Posh, of course, from Barnet back in 2020. McKenna is a big fan, even the Posh owner, you know, Stu, in his little video on Twitter, which is it's weird when I see them sort of videos, because you're like, that's the owner of a football club, and he's just being honest and just saying about a signing, which or a departure for Peterborough. But he is praised him highly. Your thoughts on Jack Taylor, Stu, because he's a player that I've liked for a while. Has played a championship before with Peterborough. Played well against us. Of course, this year we did beat Peterborough in both of those games, but he's a player that's always stood out.
Yeah, I'm not sure he jumped off the page in either of those two games against Ipswich last year. Certainly when Ipswich went to Peterborough and won 3-0, that was a pretty comprehensive victory. Peterborough as a team sort of disappointed me that day, given the stakes. Can't really remember too much about the game at Portman Road earlier in the season, but he's clearly been one of the best players in League One during his time there, taking the step up. Is a classic case of someone who got let go by a big Premier League club in Chelsea as a youngster and has rebuilt further down the pyramid in League Two and then latterly in the National League for Barnet. Peterborough, their model is to kind of take a gamble on those sort of players and pay a bit of money for them and turn a profit, which they've done again. The only knock on him, I guess, is some slight injury niggles along the way. Hamstrings seem to have been a recurring theme. They've certainly sort of held him back in that one season in the Championship for Peterborough. But beyond that, the quotes about him from managers and pundits alike are glowing. Box to box, little bit of everything, quite versatile. So I think he could play one of the deeper midfield positions, but could move forward into a 10 role if need be. Looks like he's got an eye for a goal. If you look at his highlights reel, there's some really good goals from outside the box. Have a look at the one against Hull, which won their Goal of the Season award in the Championship season. That's an absolute peach of a first-time finish from about 30 yards out. And he looks like he's quite a humble, grounded kid that's got a nice little bit of confidence sort of just bubbling under the surface as well, talking about coming here and, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm ready to make my mark. I'm ready to kick on. Thinks that he's going to fit the style of play under McKenna. So, yeah, I think this is one that hopefully can work out.
Yeah, he looks like a footballer as well, doesn't he, Stu? He's got the haircut, he's got the tattoos, and he's that sort of midfielder you just like to watch. Where do you think he will fit, Stu? Because we know we've got a lot of midfielders. We'll get on to one player who's departed, one of the midfielders who's departed shortly. But where do you think it will fit? You know, there's a lot of challenge, a lot of competition there, but we've spent a bit of money on him. Obviously, he's going to be, you know, in the eye of starting, possibly.
Yeah, you would imagine so. We've not mentioned the fact that this is now the fourth player Ipswich has spent £1 million plus on in the last three windows with Davis last summer, Clark and Broadhead in January. And now Taylor as well. Feels like a long time ago that Ipswich were kind of living off frees and loans almost exclusively. So when you spend that sort of money on a player, you would imagine they're in mind for a starting position. Morsi and Luongo did superbly during the run to promotion. Massimo's obviously got a new one-year deal. Lee Evans, been a bit of a forgotten man, is coming back into it again. So it's going to be interesting to see which two start the opening day of the season. I think Taylor's probably been recruited to add, McKenna keeps talking about sort of different qualities, different attributes, different dimensions to the team. And I think Taylor is probably going to add a couple of different things that all of those midfielders that Ipswich have got maybe didn't necessarily had. And one of that is goals from a deeper midfield role. There was a time where Morsi looked like he was going to start adding a few goals, but perhaps not his fault because he had to adapt his position because when Evans was out, I think he had to become more of that sitting midfielder. But I think Taylor is going to add a few more goals from a different area of the pitch. And I think he might be a bit of a ball carrier as well. You look at the different types of midfielders that Ipswich got. I think he's someone that can carry the ball and drive them up the pitch, which again, Sam Morsi can obviously do, but I think he's one that might add a little bit more of that to that midfield unit.
Indeed. Well, we shall wait and see. Jack Taylor, the first summer signing, Stu. Pre-season is now up and running. The players are back. What's your thoughts on the new training kit? I'm very 50-50 on it, really. I don't mind the coaching staff one, but the players one, I don't know. What colour would you say it is? I'm very 50-50 on it.
I'm gonna go with aqua. Ooh. What else was it? Cyan. I had a little look at the blue colour palette and chucked some out there when it came out. The front is a lighter blue, isn't it? And then I realised the back panel is more of a, a teal or a bit more greeny, isn't it? With a sort of neon orange dash down the sides. Seems to have got quite a nice reaction on social media. But we're waiting for the real kits, aren't we? Ipswich start their pre-season campaign at Felixstowe on Saturday. From what I gather, they'll be wearing the new kit for that, and there'll be some news leading up to that game. So not much longer now to see those new home and away kits.
Yeah, bring it on. And later in the podcast, we'll do a little preview for the Felixstowe game because it's very similar to the Needham Market game last year. But let's talk about a departure then, Stu. Should we have a little sort of few seconds of silence just for Mark Heath? Because the dream is over, my friend. So let's have a little pause. That's enough. Rakeem Harper, Stuart Watson, he has left the club, a mutual consent FC. Your thoughts on that? You know, he arrived with so much promise, didn't he, from West Brom. Had a great CV, but just didn't work out, did it?
No, another Mark Heath nickname curse strikes again. We've had the crane train. What was Aaron Drynan's nickname?
Drizzy.
Did he have...
Drizzy.
Yeah. Okay. Rakeem Harper. I guess when you make 19 summer signings... Hmm. Probability is that not all of them are going to come off and you're going to have some misses in there. Scott Fraser was kind of the first to depart out of those 6 months down the line. Someone they paid money for and moved on. Rakeem Harper was kind of dragged out a little bit more, but equally, much like Scott Fraser, they didn't really find his role in the team at a time where it helped any of those players at that time that everybody was kind of settling in the area, getting to know each other on and off the pitch. The manager was trying to sort of work out where they were best suited, in the same way that Scott Fraser was kind of shoehorned in on the left side of that attack. Rakeem Harper was kind of being asked to play a slightly different role. If you look back at his various quotes, he talks about being... In his career at West Brom and at Loans, he'd always played in a very traditional midfield three, describe himself as a number eight. Or so you'd have one sitter and then two midfielders in front of them that had a bit of freedom to get forward. And then he comes to Ipswich and is one of two sitters in Cook's 4-2-3-1. And it didn't quite suit him. I think he was trying to adapt to that new position, a bit more of a disciplined role. The whole team wasn't functioning as well. And then Sam Morsi signed on transfer deadline day, which kind of pushed him out a little bit. And yeah, things just sort of conspired against Rakeem. He obviously didn't help his own cause when some of the cup games then came along. The two games against Oldham in the FA Cup, the game against Arsenal in the Papa John's Trophy, when it was all starting to unravel for Paul Cook, and Rakeem didn't really take his chance in those games. And it sounds like he hasn't really taken his chance in the two loan spells as well. Went to Crewe. In hindsight, was that the best choice of club for him? They were battling relegation. They lost a lot of games, finished bottom of the table. You could argue that that could be a bit of sort of character building for him. Maybe that was designed to try and instill a bit more of the gritty physical qualities that he needs to go alongside the technical stuff that he's got, but that didn't really work out. And then Exeter last season, again, didn't really work out. I could see why they then send him to a team that wanted to try and play football, that actually had a pretty decent season, but he ended up not really getting too much game time there as well. So I think we said at the very start of this summer what might happen for him, and I kind of mentioned that maybe this might be a mutual consent termination situation as he headed into the final year of his contract, and that's how it's panned out.
Yeah, I was a big fan of him when he first signed, and I was impressed by him in pre-season and the first few games. But just sadly, Stuart, just haven't worked out for him. 19 games in total, 6 league starts. He's still only 23, Stu, so he's got hopefully a long career ahead of him. You know, what's next for him, do you reckon? And how do you reflect on his time at Town?
I think what's next is probably another League One club somewhere. He arrived with a lot of hype, didn't he? You know, he came former England youth international. He'd been linked to people like Juventus and Liverpool at the age of 19. Premier League debut at 17, I believe. And maybe that went against him a little bit. Like you say, you'll never know. If he'd have come into a bit more of a settled group, who knows if, say, Morsi had been in the building and he'd been partnered with a Sam Morsi from day one, for example. Maybe that's what he needed. We'll never know. But yeah, sometimes things, you can just start to see a direction of travel with a move. It got kind of the tone gets set early on, and it's just not worked out for Rakeem Harper. So hopefully there's not too many more of those misses. He'll have proved quite a costly one for Ipswich. It was a transfer fee of around £500,000. He'll have been on a reasonable wage over the last couple of years. They'll have had to kind of meet in the middle in terms of this payoff for the final year, you would imagine. I doubt Crewe or Exeter picked up a big chunk of his wages during those loans. So all in all, he's probably cost Ipswich more than £1 million. And ultimately, you've got six league starts out of him. So the American ownership won't be wanting to see too many more of those going forwards. Bit of a lesson learnt there. But hopefully under Kieran McKenna, that the recruitment now, I think, is... That was at a time where, if you remember, Mark Ashton was talking about having basically no recruitment team. He was building an aeroplane in flight, was his analogy. Obviously, the demolition man summer had left them with a lot of work to do. Everything's a little bit more settled now. Everything's a bit more methodical and planned out and forward-thinking. So that will hopefully limit a sort of Rakeem Harper-style flops financially going forwards. But of course, he seems like a really nice lad. I spoke to him a few times when he first signed. Really positive character, nice lad, and wish him well going forwards. I hope he finds himself a new home and can get his career going and fulfil that promise.
Yeah, definitely, my friend. Well, all the best to Rakeem, the dream Harper. What we'll remember of him would sadly be the game against Colchester where he basically passed the ball and Colchester scored and we got knocked out of the cup. And of course, the nickname that Mark Heath donned him. So there we go, another one.
He was good in pre-season. You were right. When he first signed, I thought he looked decent in pre-season. He was okay in those first few games. And then it was that 5-2 home defeat to Bolton. If you remember Paul Cook talking about there'll be no more performances like that when Sam Morsi's available. He'd obviously signed with that 3-game suspension hanging over him from Middlesbrough. But then I think Idris El-Mazouni got picked ahead of him. Tom Carroll got picked ahead of him in the next few games. And as I say, it just felt quite early on it was heading a certain way. Certainly when you sign a player and you decide a few games in that, oh, actually, maybe he's not that midfielder we thought he was. Cook talked about, do you remember the Lincoln game when they finally ended the winless start, won 1-0 at Lincoln, and Harper came on as sort of a number 10 in the latter stages of that game, did really well. I think he might have hit the post or certainly was involved in some chances at the top end of the pitch, helped them see the game out. And he did quite well there, but it felt like the writing was on the wall when you're kind of trying to work out what he is that early on into his Ipswich career. And I think, judging by what people have said, you know, you've done some loan review videos with people that follow Crewe and Exeter regularly, and a lot of the same sort of comments are jumping off the page. Like, he does it in fits and starts and flashes, and clearly there's a player there, but he's not consistent enough, and we're not quite sure what he is. And we seem to still be having those same sort of conversations 2 years down the line. So hopefully he can find the right club that kind of works all those things out.
Yeah, watch this space. We shall see what happens to Rakeem Harper. Well, Stu, let's move on to some sexy stuff. A transfer link. Ellis Sims of Everton, 22-year-old forward, was on loan at the first half of last season at Sunderland. Reports of loads of teams interested in him, Stu. Yeah, thoughts on this one?
Yes. This is becoming sort of the transfer saga of the summer so far for Ipswich Town. We've had people like Selina in the past. Ellis Sims seems to be the one that's going to rumble. for a little while. I think it probably will rumble on. Famous last words. We're recording this on Thursday the 29th. I think Everton are quite keen, as they were, was it last summer with Richarlison, to kind of sell somebody before the cut-off for the financial fair play deadline. The accounts, obviously, that is the 30th of June, so that's tomorrow. So whether that is Sims or somebody else, obviously there's talk about Pickford and Onana and others needing to be sort of cashed in by Everton. But I don't think it feels like it's heading that way with Sims to kind of happen this week before then. But there's a lot of clubs in the Championship that need strikers or potentially are going to need strikers this summer. You look at all the clubs that have been linked with him. You've got Coventry, who are going to have to sell Gyökeres, 21 goals last season. He's going to go for some decent money. Blackburn are going to lose Brereton Diaz. Talk about him going to Villarreal. Stoke might lose Tyrese Campbell. Middlesbrough might lose Chuba Akpom. Swansea, Joel Pirot, I don't know how you pronounce that. He's probably going to go for some decent money. Leicester, Leeds, Southampton are probably going to be on the lookout for strikers as well when they lose people. So, yeah, Ipswich are up against it, whether it's Sims or others. I think they're all going to kind of be bumping into each other over deals this summer. So that's where we're at with Ellis Sims at the moment. There was a report earlier this week from a very reputable Everton sort of in the know account that's got a very good track record to say that a bid of 4 million from Ipswich had been rejected. The information that I'm getting from Ipswich is it hasn't reached the bid stage. Yes, he's a player of interest. Yes, there's been discussions about him, but it's not certainly not hit a sort of formal bid process. I think there's a feeling inside the Ipswich camp that the football world knows that they've got the American money behind them at the moment, and they get used a little bit sort of in games publicly when players are getting linked left, right and centre and talk about bids and things like that. So they're kind of holding their ground, as they did with Jack Taylor. You see Darren McAntony talking about he's enjoyed a bit of sparring with Mark Ashton and Luke Verhoeven. Ipswich basically sort of called their bluff in the end and said, OK, we're out. You know, it got to the stage where they hit a bit of deadlock and they said, no, we're moving on. We've got other targets. And they did have other targets, but Peterborough needed some money and they came back to the table. So, yeah, a bit of mind games, a bit of cat and mouse going on with this Ellis Sims situation. And I think it's probably going to rumble on for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and of course he's a Premier League player, Stu, because it's going to be one of those where, you know, it's exciting, but do you want to spend too much money on a player? You don't want to go too mad. You know, he's got a proven record in the Championship. You know, he's played for Sunderland last year, 7 goals in 17 games, was at Hearts and Blackpool on loan as well. He has scored in the Premier League, Stu, for Everton. Sort of played during that run where they, you know, stayed up. Do you know much about him? He's 6'3", so he's a big boy.
Not loads. He got that last-minute equaliser for Everton at Chelsea, didn't he? But then, you know, Everton finished the season with Damari Gray sort of playing as a makeshift striker, which I think shows you that Everton have come to the conclusion that he's not a Premier League player, that Championship is probably his level. You say he's proven at Championship level. That is based on a sort of a six-month period at the start of last season. Is that enough to be spending £4 million plus on somebody? That's a lot of money. We shouldn't get blasé about this kind of spending power that Ipswich have got now. So those are the things Ipswich have got to weigh up. On the flip side, they do need a striker / strikers. With Hurst having gone back now, it's Freddie Ladapo and it's Joe Piggott. And you could maybe chuck Caden Jackson in there as well, but I think he's kind of fully transitioned to that kind of wide forward role now, in my mind, Caden Jackson. Piggott will almost certainly move on. So you don't really want to be going into the start of the season still kind of looking for strikers and it getting close to deadline day. I think both Mark Ashton and Kieran McKenna will want to do some business sooner rather than later on the striker front. But they'll have a few plates spinning. There's other options. All the eggs won't be in the Ellis Sims basket. We'll see how the George Hurst situation unfolds, of course, as well. But yeah, I think that's obviously the main narrative now around this transfer window is the striker, the Ipswich. Who are they going to get?
Indeed. Well, watch this space as always, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Stu, let's move on to some players departing on loan. Gassan Hadmi, of course, is a striker, but he's gone to Cambridge in League One. And Corian Darby heads back to Scotland. Had a spell with Ayr United previously, but now he's at Kilmarnock, Stu. I think this is his seventh loan spell. Corian Darby. So we had that conversation, didn't we, about keep, loan, sell. And I actually said sell Corian Darby, even though I'm a big fan of him, left-sided centre-half. But another loan spell for him, Stu. Last year, he had spells at Burton and Fleetwood. But this time around, he's heading to the Scottish Premiership.
Yeah, one of those loans makes more sense to me than the other. Mm-hmm. Gassan Hadmi, yeah, just up the road at Cambridge. You can keep a close eye on him. I think their playing style, the way Mark Bonner talks about getting high balls into the box and for him to go and attack, and he's going to hopefully get game time first and foremost because they've lost Sam Smith and Joe Ironside this summer. So that one makes sense to me. You'd hope that there's still a future there for Gassan at Ipswich. He was signed as a bit of a project, of course. The foot fracture kind of made for a bit of a false start and ended up going back to Burton last season, where I think they just had so many loan players they were sort of juggling them to fit five in the squad. So last season ended up being a bit of a write-off for Gassan, but hopefully he can get himself going again and show why Ipswich, you know, took the punt on him they did last summer. Corey to Kilmarnock. Don't really understand that one, if I'm honest. He's been up to Scotland once before, miles from home. I think we sometimes underestimate the impact that has on a young player being far from friends and family on their own. Hopefully he'll play a lot of football at centre-half because, as we've discussed before on this, he's ended up going to clubs and then ending up playing at left-back quite a lot, Salford. Being a prime example where he did really well, but Ipswich want to develop him as this left-footed ball-playing centre-half. So I hope it goes well for him up there. They're managed Kilmarnock by Derek McInnes, who Mark Ashton worked with at Bristol City. So it might be a bit of a favour to an old manager of his sending Corey up there. I hope it goes well for him. But people forget, you know, there's... It's difficult for these young lads when they get sent out here, there and everywhere. And as you say, is it seven loans now?
Yeah.
For Corey, that's quite a lot. So he did sign a new contract last year, so it'll be interesting to see sort of how things pan out. I really like him. Every time I've seen him in bits and pieces in pre-season, he is that rare breed of a left-footed ball-playing centre-half that everybody wants in the game. And I think there's a player in there for him. He just needs to get one of those 40 plus game seasons at centre half. And I still haven't given up hope that he has got a future at Ipswich still.
Yeah, because he still hasn't made his league debut, hasn't he? He's made a couple appearances, but yet to make that first senior league start for Town. But yeah, hopefully he has a good time at Kilmarnock, and yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, in a way, I'm pleased these deals are getting happened now, those two, because, you know, we don't want them to be part of our pre-season camp and then at the end of the day, you know, they're not going to be playing in the team. It's good that they're getting loaned out now. They can be part of the team they're going to go to on loan, be part of their pre-season schedule, and then they can be up and running for the league. And as you said, hopefully Corey and Gassan as well can play week in, week out for their parent clubs, loan clubs, and play well. Which will be good to hear. Well, Stu, let's talk about one of your stories that you brought us this week about Idris Al-Mazouni. Three League One clubs are interested for a loan for Idris. Derby, Charlton and Wickham. Tell us more, my friend.
Loads of interest in Idris this summer. As you can imagine, after he played a starring role in Leyton Orient winning the League Two title last season, he, by all accounts, was outstanding for them has kind of changed his. We've kind of known him as a young Ipswich player as a bit more of an attack-minded midfielder, but I think he's now become a little bit more box-to-box, played in one of those two slightly deeper midfield roles, but with some license to burst forward as well. Loads of praise for him, and as a result, loads of League One clubs wanting to take him up a level this year. Leighton Orient, I think, realised that they were probably priced out of it quite early on. I know Plymouth even were having a little look at him at one stage, Oxford with Liam Manning, but the three clubs that have actually put loan bids in formally for him are the ones that you mentioned, Derby, Charlton and Wickham. So Ipswich, I think, have got to think very carefully about what the best fit is for him. I know where I think the best club for him out of those is, and that would be Derby, who I think with Paul Warne is not only a proven League One winning manager, but I think he's got a really good people skills. I think he's a good empathetic, emotionally intelligent, modern manager that I think would be good for Idris. I think he'll be surrounded by some good senior players there. I see Curtis Davis has moved on, but and David McGoldrick's moved on, but Hurahane and others there at Derby that can perhaps sort of help mentor him and move him along. And I just think they're probably out of those three clubs, they're the team that are most likely to be in the mix to get promoted next season. Derby, big crowds as well. You're getting him used to playing in front of 26,000-27,000 crowds, which ultimately is what you're trying to get him ready for if he's going to make it at Ipswich. So we'll see where he ends up. Charlton in the middle of a takeover at the moment. A little bit of uncertainty surrounding them. They're probably going to lose a few of their main players, Miles Leeburn, Wickham, Matt Bloomfield, obviously manager there. So that's probably a bit of a link in terms of sort of knowing about Idris. Matt had done some coaching around the Playford Road Academy while he was still playing at Wickham. So he'll be well aware of Idris as well. But of those three clubs, Derby for me would be the best fit for him to try and really get him ready. Because much like Corey, I'm still really hopeful that Idris, even with the sort of the trajectory that Ipswich are on at the moment and the ambitions that they've got, I still think he could make it at Ipswich. I think there's a real player in there, hopefully. He's got that nice little bit of grit and edge that you can't teach, that sort of street footballer vibes that I think he's kind of learnt sort of playing in the cages of Paris, sort of growing up and stuff like that. So, yeah, hopefully they get the right club, the right fit for him, and he's someone else that can kick on next season.
Yeah, definitely. I like his story because he was found, scouted in like a French village and then Paris village, and then he came here and he's kicked on, and of course had a good spell with Leighton Orient last year still. And yeah, I agree with you, Derby sounds like the perfect fit, although Wickham as well because of the Matt Bloomfield. I think Scott Mitchell's also gone there, used to be at Town, the recruitment side. So yeah, just it needs to find a perfect place for him. I think Leighton Orient last year was perfect because they won that promotion, had a good team as well. But yeah, I still have hope that Idris will kick on at Town at some stage, because I once again said, actually, let's keep him. Let's not loan him. Let's actually keep him at Town and work with McKenna and co. But now Jack Taylor coming in and all the midfielders in front of him, yeah, it's going to be a lot of traffic to get by. But another loan spell in League One will be ideal for Idris. So we shall see. Well, Stu, we're back to pre-season game number one this weekend. Down to the seaside, Felixstowe Walton FC, the home of Ipswich Town women's side. Just like Needham last year, it will be 2 half-an-hour halves plus a penalty shootout. Are you looking forward to this?
Yes, I am. I really enjoyed Needham last year, the first game. A lovely community feel to it. It felt like everything that Ipswich Town should be in the county of Suffolk and surrounding areas, sort of at the heart of the community. It kind of chimed with everything the club are trying to reconnect in terms of the foundation and having that sort of presence around the county. It was really relaxed. Players kind of mingled with fans and autographs and selfies. And it will be the same vibe, I'm sure, at Felixstowe at the weekend. As you say, it's a nice little thank you to them for hosting the women throughout the season. I'm sure they'll take a bit of money on tickets and bar sales and everything as well, which is great. hope the penalty shootout is a little bit better organised than the one at Needham last season. I was watching it down one end and then hearing cheers at the other end. They were taking penalties in both goals at the same time. It got a little bit chaotic. Cameron Burgess sent a rocket into the top corner. I caught one of those. Christian Walton took one like a goal kick that nearly broke the back of the net. It was quite a casual setting. Was it 7-0 in the end? Ipswich won. Some late goals. Needham were. I don't think they'd even started pre-season at that stage. There was a bit of a gulf. So it's a glorified fitness exercise, isn't it? And a bit of a community feel before things really start to ramp up. And Ipswich will head off to Austria for their training camp after that.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to be a nice day. I've been told there's going to be a barbecue, sausages, burgers, all the bits, a fan zone. It's sold out, Stu, so it's going to be packed to the rafters at the HR Arena. Whoever got a ticket, enjoy yourself. Of course, Felixstowe, as you said, I spoke to Stuart Ainsley, who's a Felixstowe player, former academy player at Town as well. It'll be a piece going out soon with a chat with him. And he said some of the players are not going to be available because they're on stag do's, holidays. Stuart actually is injured because he actually got injured in a bleep test. So I think they're going to be to bare bones, but I'm sure they're looking forward to it because there's a lot of connections actually with a lot of the players because they were once in the academy or played senior games. But yeah, it's just proper non-league, he was saying, that some players won't be available, even though they're like excited to hear the news they'll be taking on Ipswich Town. But holidays booked, stag do's booked. So yeah, even Jack Ainsley, Stuart's brother, a former Town player as well, he's on holiday, so he'll be missing the game. So yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who's involved for Ipswich. There'll be a lot of, like you say, probably a different team in each half, and then a few subs as well in the second half. I don't know if Jack Taylor's going to be involved. I don't think he sort of joins up for training until next week. So probably unlikely. He's just been away with the Republic of Ireland on camps. I think Nathan Broadhead will get a bit of extra time off, having been away with Wales as well. So, but yeah, it's just, hopefully the sun will be out and it's a day everyone can enjoy. And it feels like, much like when the fixtures comes out, it feels like another sort of significant step towards the start of a new season.
Indeed. And there's a sweet shop there, Stu. So I'll get you a nice pick and mix. Just get you ready for the game or after the game. I know it's going to be packed. Queues are going to be everywhere. But basically, Stuart said, get there in good amount of time. Parking is going to be horrendous. So best of luck with that, ladies and gentlemen. Best of luck with that, Stu, as well. But it's going to be a good day. And there's also been another pre-season game confirmed. Maidenhead at Needham Markets, do. So another sort of local game for us. We haven't got to go to Maidenhead, which is good. But yeah, Needham Market will be hosting that game against the non-league side.
Yeah, back to Needham. Like I said, it was but were really good hosts last summer. So again, that's nice. Maidenhead are... I can't remember now. It's been a while since I looked. Are they National League or National League South? I can't remember. A slight step up in opposition, but yeah, it's all about just getting minutes in the legs. I'm sure you'll hear that phrase uttered by manager and players alike over the coming days.
Definitely. And one thing we haven't covered, Stu, because we've been busy with loads of different stuff, has just been me and you working. But since then, McKenna has signed the new deal. Of course, it's old news now because we've signed a player and all the other bits and bobs getting out. But let's quickly chat about that, Stu, because that's massive news because he was linked with clubs and stuff like that, Celtic, Leicester. But he's staying, my friend, which was always going to happen. I know it was. But yeah, Kieran McKenna, new deal, my friend. That's great news.
It is, yeah. The excitement will move on when Ipswich finally land a striker for a few million pounds and other players will come in and that maybe get forgotten about a little bit. But that is probably Ipswich going to be Ipswich's best bit of business of this summer, whatever they go on to do. Mark Ashton's kind of outlined the timeline of how that worked sort of in the second half of last season. He said one of his trips out to the States to speak to the ownership group, they started discussing it. They decided that they were going to offer him a new deal, whatever happened, however the season finished. And then, yeah, that Sunday after promotion was secured, I think after the Exeter game, they sat down and said, look, we want to reward you. So there was a handshake. There was a an agreement that yes, he would stay. Obviously, then Kieran went away on holiday, and there was obviously a bit of paperwork and details to sort out. But it sounds like it was never in doubt. So while all those rumours of Celtic and Leicester were swirling around, yeah, behind the scenes they were quite comfortable that everything was all good.
Yeah. Super Kieran McKenna, as we always sing. Well, Stu, let's quickly mention the Extra Time Women's team. They've announced their retain list and their pre-season schedule. I want to quickly mention that. Of course, there'll be no Track the Girls talk until, you know, pre-season kicks off for the women's team. They're actually back next week. But yeah, retain list, some big departures. Anna Gray and Abby Lafayette have departed after their contract. And Freya Godfrey and Brooke Kearns' loan spells have ended. But yeah, Stu, that's two big departures. As a person who maybe looks from afar, because I'm the man who covers the women's team, you know, were you surprised to see that? I think that's, you know, the way, you know, we're still in the third tier. And, you know, some players want to level up and you just got to move on sometimes.
Yeah, I looking from the outside in, I assume that is because there's going to be some interest from coming above. Is that how you see it, Ross?
Yeah, I think pretty much. And sometimes, you know, like managers, they want to move on and go to a different direction with players. And maybe he just feels Anna and Laf that you know, that they need to move on to new towns, new clubs, and bring in some new players. And that's what I'm hoping. Because last summer we saw Paige Peake leave and then we didn't recruit, which was not Joe Sheehan and the club's fault. It's just different things didn't come into play. But hopefully this year they're going to be backed and they're going to sign some players, and hopefully there'll be some sexy stuff on the women's side in terms of signings, just like the men. So look forward to that. And they've actually got a good pre-season schedule still, actually. They've got two championship clubs, Crystal Palace and Charlton. They're playing Derby as well. They've got Loughborough. They've also got Sudbury in a behind closed doors game. And who else? They've got Peterborough as well at the AJ Arena. So some good pre-season games for them to get up and ready to do for their third year in the third tier. So hopefully it'll be a successful season for both men and women once again, my friend.
Yeah, hopefully. It just felt like, I hope that the sort of momentum doesn't slow down a little bit with the women's team. It felt like, I guess maybe naively, you thought it was just going to be sort of an onward march year after year. But bit of reality check, I guess, over the last couple of seasons, we've just fallen short with promotion. Ipswich are not the only club that are putting a bit of money and a bit more interest into the women's side of things at the moment. There are other clubs around the land trying to do the same. So, yeah, I hope this is the year finally. They've learned some lessons from the last couple of years. Get off to a bit of a better start this time. They were kind of catching and playing catch up from that start last season, weren't they? So yeah, fingers crossed they've kind of learned a few lessons and Joe can replace some of the girls that have left, and it'll be a good one for them.
Definitely. And yeah, there'll be a Track the Girls talk some point in July with good old Blue Wilson, the captain, who'll be hasn't signed a new deal just yet, but she'll be in pre-season training, and we shall see what happens there. But yeah, Stu, another season ahead for both teams. Well, any other business, my friends? You know, it's been a nice week in terms of stories and news for us to cover. I know you've got a story coming out. I've cheekily looked on our website and a little plug about it. Looking at the last Championship 11, which it's got some interesting names on that.
Yeah, I thought it's 4 years on from Ipswich last being in the Championship. It's a bit of a summer filler piece, Ross, if I'm honest, just to keep things ticking over. But a little look back at the team that lined up against Leeds on the final day of that 2018-2019 season. A 3-2 win, which sort of added to the feeling that the League One tour was going to be fun and swift, and they'd bounce back quite quickly. Obviously, it didn't work out that way. So a little look back at some players on there, some of whom you may have already forgotten about, even though it was only 4 years ago. So that'll be on our websites tomorrow morning.
So, man, also a great story you've done about Rakeem Harper's spell at Town as well. So check that out. That's now online. But any other things you've got to work on, Stu? Anything that's coming out? Just looking forward to Felix, though, this Saturday.
Yeah, always working the phones. Yeah, it's an interesting time of year speaking to various people. It's yeah, there's lots of people with lots of different agendas at play in transfer windows. You'll have, you know, take the Ellis Sims one, for example. You'll have people from the Everton side of things briefing sort of media and journalists at their end with the information that they want out. I'm not naive enough to know that sometimes the information that I'm being briefed is you're kind of getting used a little bit, inverted commas, to get a certain message out from an Ipswich end. Sometimes the truth kind of lies somewhere in between. So it's a challenge kind of separating fact from fiction. So we'll try and do that for you and bring you sort of hopefully some reliable news over the weeks ahead. But yeah, it's an exciting summer on the transfer front, isn't it? After years, as I say, of covering kind of free transfers and loans and the odd swap deal, it's nice that Ipswich are kind of competing at the top end of the Championship for players next season.
Yeah, indeed, my friend. When the fixtures dropped, that's when you know we were back, ready to rumble, and new signing in the door, players back pre-season. Just next up, Stu, is the kit and the first pre-season game, and then we are, you know, on the road to Championship games once again. Well, Stu, thanks for joining me, my friend. Next week, normal service should resume. Heafy is back. Am I correct, Stu? Maybe I should know this.
Should be. I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to maybe be looked after a little bit more. Definitely me, just to set myself. But yes, Heafy will be back in the host chair, and we'll bring you another podcast next week. If you're going to Phoenix, though, enjoy it. If you're not, follow the game with us. We'll be there covering it in all our glory. As ever, shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped, use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery. And then, of course, all your Google SEO needs, Ginger Pickle is the perfect pickle. Tony Southgate and the team will help you out there. And also, follow us on our socials at Kings of Anglia on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all the other bits and bobs. And we've got our merch as well. If you want to don the Kings of Anglia hat at Phoenix, I hope we see some of those. If you haven't got it yet, get yourself one. There's hoodies, there's shirts, there's mugs, there's other bits and bobs. Go to the merch store, get yourself some stuff. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back for more content, more Kings of Anglia content for you. Bye-bye for now.
Just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.